For nearly a half century, Bloomington's Miller Park had segregated beaches. African Americans had to swim in a debris-filled area of the lagoon. One young girl even became tangled in the debris and drowned. The community will soon note that history of segregation and racism that lasted into the 1950s. WGLT correspondent Colleen Reynolds talks with historian Mark Wyman about efforts to put up a state historical marker outlining discrimination in Bloomington. Wyman says the idea for the marker grew out of research he conducted with Jack Muirhead, which found that for several decades after the Civil War, African Americans actually did okay in the Twin Cities. Wyman says they could vote, eat in restaurants, and stay in the major hotel, the Ashley House.
And then, toward the end of the century, things began to change. Jesse Fell died in 1887, and the Leader newspaper that was a big supporter of integration folded in the 90s. And there's records of the Colored Voters League meeting in 1895 and starting to complain. They met with members of the three African-American churches then, and they came up with a resolution that we should not patronize stores that refused to hire African-American salespersons. And there's more complaints. And then in 1908, the Park Board ordered racial segregation for swimming in Miller Park Lake, which had only started a couple of years earlier. And there was enormous opposition. And the city council in Bloomington voted 9-4 that there would be no discrimination in Miller Park. And then the Springfield riot occurred here in Lincoln's hometown, several deaths and a lot of people injured and black homes and stores up in smoke. And that cut off the debate. And then after World War I, as African-American soldiers were coming back into the community, and the NAACP was formed in Bloomington in 1918, so a big opposition developed, and then the Chicago race riot occurred. And so debate again was just cut off here. So the 20s then saw a lot of segregation, not backed by laws, but just restaurants, hotels, movie theaters made blacks sit in the very back rows. And so that was the 20s, and the Ku Klux Klan marched in Bloomington and towns all around here. So that was our segregation then that became pretty thorough, and it didn't start to yield really much until World War II, when black soldiers would come home on leave and refuse to move when they sat in the movie theaters. And then right after the war, 1947, right here at ISU, there was a little cafe near campus just south of where the Alamo is that was segregated, would not serve African Americans. And mainly veterans began to march, black and white, and they forced it to change. So from then we get into the 1950s and part of the national movement against segregation.
Where did the idea for this marker in Miller Park begin?
So what Jack and I discovered in our research and talking to people, people weren't aware of that. Did we ever have segregation here? Nope, too far north. Nope, never heard of it. And that was over and over. So I realized there is a secret. This community has a secret that they don't know, that racial segregation was pretty thorough here from the early 1900s, at least in the 1950s, and didn't really end until the 1960s. That led us to say we've got to have a historical marker, Miller Park Lake, marking the 1908 official beginning of segregation there.
And it continued until when? When was it lifted?
Well, the lake was closed for swimming in 1953 because it was so unsanitary. And then they made a lot of changes in the water supply, and we got a new mayor in Bloomington, 1957. And he made it his goal to open it to swimming, even though health department was opposed. So it reopened in 1957 for integration, no mention of segregation. In fact, I saw the secret really develop then, because in all the editorials about reopening and the speeches by the mayor, no mention that it used to be segregated up till it closed in 1953.
We're talking with ISU Professor Emeritus Mark Wyman and Camille Taylor of Not in Our Town about a marker that could go up this spring, noting the segregation of blacks and whites at Miller Park specifically. Some people might be listening to this and say, why a marker? Typically, you think of monuments and markers as sort of celebratory or marking heroes or positive activities that occur. And some of the maybe darker part of our history is included in a history museum, which has an educational purpose. Markers, monuments, typically more celebratory.
Well, part of this, I think, is just to end the secrecy. That's a maybe a kind of a narrower focus. I also want to note that I realize now this is a national trend. In New Orleans, which had the biggest slave auction center in the country, they had a bunch of statues honoring Southern Confederate military leaders in the Civil War. And the mayor in New Orleans led an attack on these. Instead, he said, let's have a marker that here was the largest slave auction center in the country, that we need to remember these things to help us guide our way into the future to see what bad things happened. So they're not forgotten, and people think of the past as a wonderful era. Well, we are part of the past. As Faulkner said, the past isn't even over. In fact, it's not even past.
Have you had much discussion with city leaders about this marker, and are they behind the effort? Because it's not necessarily a thing they're going to put on the map for the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
I would hope they would, but I would say I've found no opposition. I met with Steve Rasmussen, who now is interim city manager, and he's very positive on it. Karen Schmidt, whose ward covers Miller Park, was really very enthused. And other people that I mentioned it to, a couple of other aldermen who were didn't know anything about it, but their reaction was very positive. So I've encountered no opposition.
How much is the marker going to cost, and how are you doing on your fundraising efforts?
Yeah, I knew it would cost money, but it never worried me. And my expectations have been borne out. Right away is when I would mention it in talking to groups around town about our segregation past, people would come up and say, I want to donate. And the NAACP came through, Not in Our Town came through. And several individuals then who read about it in the Historical Society newsletter contacted us and said, yes, I want to give. So I think the total is about $4,000, and that has been reached pretty easily, I would say.
Anything else as we wrap up our discussion about this historic marker in Miller Park that you want to make sure people listening understand as they hear about this effort?
In one way, it's easy to talk about some bad stuff that was done in long ago. And Germany is having the same problem with the Holocaust. And they have gone through a bunch of different stages there. And how do you teach it in the schools? And some people say we don't want to make people just ashamed. And so they've got things like brass things on the ground in front of a home where a Jew was taken away. They've got a giant memorial in Berlin, the things that look like caskets, a whole field of them. So other places go through this. How do you deal with something bad in the past? The marker is just one way.
Historian Mark Wyman talking about a historic marker slated for Miller Park, noting the history of segregation in the Twin Cities. Wyman talked with Colleen Reynolds. The full transcript of what will be included on the marker can be found at WGLT.org.